Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said local communities should be required to cooperate with federal immigration and customs enforcement. It's Friday, January 24th, and this is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning, I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, school resource officers must return to Milwaukee Public Schools after a legal ruling. And Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes leaves his post. Stay with us.
You tune into Wisconsin Public Radio for news you can trust, conversations that draw you in, and music and entertainment that make your day better. The largest source of funding for everything you value on WPR is listener support. Join the team that makes WPR possible. Become a sustaining member. Make an ongoing monthly gift and share WPR with your entire community. It's easy to sign up at WPR.org.
The state's top legislative Republican is promising to aid President Donald Trump with stricter immigration enforcement across Wisconsin. In a speech this week, GOP Assembly Speaker Robin Voss said that local communities should be required to cooperate with federal immigration and customs enforcement.
There are too many lawless bureaucrats and politicians pushing dangerous sanctuary policies that jeopardize our public safety here in Wisconsin.
Democratic Governor Tony Evers said he will not deploy National Guard troops for deportations. That's a move that Robin Voss called disappointing. Meanwhile, in a memo this week, Trump's Department of Justice warned that local and state officials will face investigation if they obstruct or resist federal immigration enforcement. The memo says such resistance could potentially lead to criminal charges. State and local health officials say it's too early to tell how they'll be affected by a pause on federal health information. As Hope Kerwin reports, the order came Tuesday from a new Trump administration leader.
NPR reported that employees of the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services were told to temporarily halt public communications. Some former officials have said it's not unusual for a new administration to pause releases. Others have expressed concern that the decision will affect the release of data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention that's used by state and local health leaders. A spokesperson for the Wisconsin Department of Health Services says it's too soon for the state to comment on the situation. A Public Health Madison and Dane County spokesperson says their agency is concerned. A statement says the impact will depend on what communications are affected and for how long. But a spokesperson for the City of Milwaukee Health Department says they don't anticipate any significant disruptions to their work. Hope Kerwin, Wisconsin Public Radio.
ABC News is reporting that there may have been social media contact between the student who carried out the shooting at Abundant Life Christian School in Madison and the suspect in a school shooting this week in Nashville. Authorities say a 17-year-old opened fire in a Nashville school cafeteria this week. He killed one student and injured a second before shooting himself. According to the ABC News report, which came out yesterday, law enforcement sources say his social media accounts show that he may have been in contact online with the Madison shooter. She killed two people and injured six others at Abundant Life School in Madison last month before taking her own life. WPR has previously reported that she had posted frequently online about school shootings and extremist views. Milwaukee Public Schools must return school resource officers to the district following a legal ruling. A judge ruled yesterday that police officers should be stationed in schools by February 17th. The ruling came in response to a lawsuit filed by the conservative Wisconsin Institute for Law and Liberty on behalf of a parent. MPS ended its contract with the Milwaukee Police Department in 2020, removing school resource officers from its schools. That move came after the George Floyd killing in Minneapolis, which ignited nationwide protest about policing. District officials have said they would comply with the law when the city of Milwaukee makes officers available, but the city says it's not responsible for paying for the school resource officers. Madison Police Chief Sean Barnes worked his last day for the city yesterday, this as he prepares to leave for another department. As Anna Marie Yanni reports, Barnes's goal of body cameras for all police officers remains a work in progress.
Barnes says body-worn cameras can be a tool for accountability.
We're the only department our size in the region, not just the state, but in the region, that does not have body-worn camera. which means either we got it right and everyone else got it wrong, or perhaps maybe there's something that we're missing.
After the Common Council gave its okay, Barnes helped oversee a body cam pilot with about 40 officers last year. He'd hoped to work with the council and mayor to fund body cameras department-wide. But Barnes is leaving to lead Seattle's police department. He says the next chief will need buy-in from city leaders to fund a body cam rollout. Anna Marie Yanni, Wisconsin Public Radio.
Coming up, it has been so bitterly cold this past week. All I've wanted to do is stay inside with my newborn and my dog. I'm sure you probably just wanted to stay inside as well. For one man, though, when it gets cold out, he gravitates towards building a fire. In today's Wisconsin Life, we'll hear from that Eau Claire writer. Stay with us.
Make an appointment with Public Radio's favorite family doc on the next Zorba Pastor on Your Health.
Okay, Carol, do you like taking calls from our listeners?
I do.
How about sharing our wonderful heart-healthy recipes?
Absolutely.
Do you like to keep up with the latest medical research?
Always.
If you do, Carol, stay tuned.
Saturday afternoon at 1 and Sunday night at 6 on WPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Sarah Hopeful with a story to keep us warm and cozy during this bitterly cold week.
Few things offer the same comfort and satisfaction as the steady warmth of a wood fire on a cold winter night. Writer Ron Davis of Eau Claire reflects on how his wood stove taught him resilience, gratitude, and an appreciation for simple, honest labor.
The ink on my college diploma had long since dried when I finally got my first job, piling lumber at a small country sawmill. Night shift, outside, 1976, January. I was living then in a century-old farmhouse three friends and I had rented for $100 a month. The place had electricity and running water, usually, but no source of heat other than the 55-gallon drum that had been converted into a wood burner, hence the cheap rent. On sub-zero nights, we'd stoke it with chunks of elm and oak until the stovepipe turned bright orange. I still can't believe we didn't burn the place down. However, that winter may have been more transformative than my 4 years of college. Sticking out a winter of frozen-fingered, knuckle-smashing labor 40 hours a week at a sawmill made me think I might actually be tougher than I had previously thought. Also, hearing the rough life stories of some of my coworkers made me appreciate how fortunate my life had been up until then. But probably the most significant impact was the way I became passionate about wood heat. No matter where I've lived since, whether in makeshift rentals with friends, my wife and my first home, or more recently our city place in Eau Claire, the steady heat from a wood fire has always been a must-have for me. I'm not talking about an occasional blaze in a mantled fireplace, but a continual 4 or 5 month burn in an airtight wood heater. Kindling is laid in on embers every morning, with stokings throughout the day. Sure, heating with wood seems like a quaint throwback to pioneer days, but I like touchstones with the past, and the cutting, splitting, hauling, stacking, and stoking always feels like good, honest work. And it's not just me. According to the Wisconsin K-12 Energy Program, about 200,000 or 9% of Wisconsin homes burn wood as a primary or secondary fuel. In Norway, 20% of television viewers were willing to watch a four-hour program on gathering, splitting, stacking, and burning firewood. The last 3 hours simply show a burning fire, with someone occasionally stoking the stove. Not just a loop, it was shown on National Firewood Night? Speaking of stacking, Henry David Thoreau wrote in Walden, "Every man looks at his woodpile with a kind of affection." To me, there's nothing like the sight of a well-built rick of oak. Each piece is a trophy of my resolve against my ever-mounting pile of years. Packed loosely enough for a mouse to run through, but not the wily cat, it's a little heartbreaking to watch the cords of wood shrink down through November, December, January, February, and even March. My son-in-law regards my finicky stacking to be slightly silly, but my daughter, who grew up placing wedges of hardwood alongside me, knows the shape of someone's woodpile can say a lot. When we lived in the country, I could usually scavenge up enough wood from blowdowns and oak wilt from our own woods and from that of kind-hearted neighbors. Now I have to rely on, I'm embarrassed to say, split firewood delivered and unceremoniously dumped in our driveway. Over my wife's complaints about the mess, and probably my neighbor's annoyance with the smoke when I fire up the stove, I'll probably keep using wood heat as long as I can manage my back's protests and the stairs to the basement. As Thoreau wrote, you can always see a face in the fire. As I stare into the tempered glass of my wood burner, I guess I see my own.
Ron Davis is a writer who lives in Eau Claire. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell and Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Sarah Hopeful.
Always nice to hear a story like that this time of year. Quick check of weather before we let you go. It's going to be a little bit warmer today than the past few days with highs in the teens and 20s. Tomorrow, even warmer with highs in the 20s and 30s. But it is going to be windy tomorrow. Wind gusts up near 20 miles per hour across the state. And that'll do it for this Friday. Thanks so much for joining us for Wisconsin Today Morning News. I'm your host, Alex Crow, and our producers today were Mallory Chang and John Davis. As always, just hit subscribe and we'll show up every single day on your favorite podcast app. And while you're there, leave us a rating and review. It helps other people find the show as well. Have a great rest of your day and a fantastic weekend. We'll talk to you again soon.